Please pray with me. O Lord, as we come into your presence to hear your word preached, allow us through your Spirit to have open minds and hearts to listen to you. May we understand that your Spirit is present, that he speaks to us, and that Christ is truly in this room. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our sermon text is Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Though whom we have received, I apologize, skip down to verse 18. But I ask, they have not heard, indeed they have, for their voices have gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, and I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation, with a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. The word of the Lord. Now I want to start this morning's sermon with a quote from the great John Calvin, which I think captures how important preaching is, which dominates today's message. He states, the gospel does not fall from the rain, or let me back up, he says it more eloquently than me. The gospel does not fall from the clouds like rain, by accident, but it is brought by the hands of men to where God has sent it. And Calvin places a strong priority on the sovereignty of God in that statement, and I just love it, and it captures well where we're going this morning. So last week, I drove a wedge between belief and believing and doing, and I'm going to continue to do so today. Paul can be quite polemical at times, and I'm going to continue in that vein. Those who believe in Christ's saving righteousness stand in the new age. Belief is really important, and they stand on solid ground, while those who are still stuck in the old age are tied up with doing. Paul continues again and again to contrast and compare belief and doing, and belief is what dominates the new age. So this morning, the text is dominated by the theme of preaching. In other words, we're asking the question, how does one become a Christian? And for Paul, and I think the whole witness of the New Testament, it is through the proclamation of God's word. If you think about your own Christian life, when you became a Christian, often it's not through somebody's good works and just loving on you. That's super important, but it's through preaching. You heard God's call placed upon your life. I want to make sure we're prioritizing that gospel call first and then the action afterwards. Often, I'm going to argue this morning, we get them in reverse, and then the church gets kind of wonky. Preaching is the means by which people come into the kingdom and become Christians. And it's not so much based upon how good of a person you are, or as Chris Combs says, if you're a neat Christian guy or gal. We don't want neat Christian guys or gal. We want people who are beholden to God's mercy in the saving righteousness of Christ. But I think we have a problem. If you listen to a lot of Christian sermons, what often is emphasized? Faith in Christ, and that it, and that being it, or is it doing? Or, for our purposes, sometimes you preach out the Holy Scriptures, the preacher preaches, gives a great gospel message, and then what you hear in the application section is a bunch of doing, not empowerment through the Holy Spirit. That's really the lot of a preacher, so I covet your prayers when you're praying for me, preparing the messages every week. Pray for me that I don't tell you to do a bunch of stuff in the application section, because I'm trying not to. I want you to be empowered by the Spirit. So Google was my friend this past week, and it allows me to see what other churches are up to than cheating on you, so to speak, and going through another congregation on Saturday night or something. So when I Googled other churches and seeing what their preaching ministry is up to, I pulled a few ones that were helpful. And I do want to say it would be really self-righteous for me to pick on a church where, I'm going to use a phrase, I hope it communicates it well, but a bunch of liberal Christian do-gooders. Do you know what I mean? Like, the whole point of going into the church is to do social justice stuff. So everybody's shaking their head, they're on the same page. That would be really easy for us to pick on. But I'm going to pick on churches that believe God's word is inspired, inerrant, and to use older language, the word of God is the word of God. So I'm going to pick on two churches in particular, and you don't know them, so we're safe here. So this church says, join us for a three-week series on the how-tos of Christ. So I think it's a little bit confusing there. What's more important, Christ in all things, as we say here at Christ Presbyterian Church, or the response, what do we do as the congregation? I think that in that statement, it sounds a lot more like doing than believing. So I think they have their priorities mixed up. Another preacher who was really helpful this past week, and I would, if you want to buy a copy of sermons that are quite good, her name's Fleming Rutledge. She is an Episcopalian preacher, and she did a series on Romans, which is really good. I don't endorse everything she says, but she's really helpful for this week. She nuances it this way. You hear a lot of sermons that are about spiritual exercises like journaling. Some people really love to journal. Pilgrimages. Labyrinth walking, which was like a thing in the 90s and is coming back now. Things never die out, and they just keep being recycled over and over again. And spiritual disciplines, which are not bad things, but what are they emphasizing? Doing, I think. And I think the task of a preacher is to emphasize belief in Christ's saving righteousness. So as Fleming Rutledge says, the problem with those is God is the object to be sought, not the acting subject. And when we come to church, we show up on Sunday to hear God speak to us, and he's the primary actor in worship, in our life, and his call, as we'll find out this morning. Again, we are doers, so to speak, through the Spirit, but the whole purpose of church is coming to hear about who? God. Yes. That's why we come here. So Paul is really big on that, and I'm trying to channel that this morning. Rutledge goes on in her book to talk about it. I'll back up. Discernment. So whenever somebody says so-and-so is not preaching the gospel, whether that's anybody that preaches here or you hear it on the radio and so forth and so on, when I listen to people, God gave you ears, use them. Actually, ear is you hear and obey. I know for those who have raised kids, you often say to your children, did you not hear what I said? Yeah, God gave us ears to listen and to obey. But often when I'm listening to people, it's best to follow up with a response. Always when somebody says a statement, ask a question. So I'm tempted to ask, what do you mean by that statement? And often when you follow up with a person, the response I hear, this is what I hear, is not so much the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of our Lord, the gospel message summarized. What I often hear is it's the preacher's task to make me feel good or make me feel inspired like I can change the world. In other words, doing. I'm trying to push back against that this morning because I think that's what Paul's doing. So, in other words, my task as your pastor and your preacher this morning is let's be a congregation of believers and out of that mission, doers through the power of the Spirit, not doers first, and then believers. So let's turn to Romans 10:14. And for our sake this morning, there's a lot going on. I wrestled with the Lord how to preach this passage the best, and I'm just focusing on preaching. You could go down the road of focusing on a few other things, but that we're just going to really be honing in on verse 14 and verse 17 this morning. I'm not going through the whole passage. So verse 14, Paul says, How will they then call on whom they have not believed? The question is, who is Paul talking about? In Romans 9 through 11, his primary audience, I think, is the Jews. But is Paul talking about the Jews or the Gentiles? or one or the other. I think some commentators argue it's just the Jews, but I actually think it's both Jew and Gentile, and that goes all the way back to Romans chapter 1. Paul's gospel is for all of the nations, not just the children of Israel. And the thing we've been wrestling with the last couple of weeks is Israel thought that she was the pipsqueak nation. She was called to serve as God's kingdom of priests, to be different. But what did Israel do? She got high on her own supply of righteousness, so to speak, and thought she was better than everybody else. That's not what Israel's vocation was. It was to be a light to the nations. Well, if those who have not believed, how are they to hear, Paul says? And how are they are to hear? And here's the important part for our purposes today in verse 14. How are they to hear without someone preaching? So Paul's chain of thinking goes, call, which is where we left off last week, believe, hearing, which ultimately leads us to preaching. Now, if you go back and you study all the great movements in church history and renewal, and I'm not just talking, for some reason, us Protestants, we like to go back to the Reformation and think church history starts there. It does not, unfortunately. But the great preaching movements of the church go all the way back to the early church. So you have somebody like John Chrysostom, whose nickname was the golden-mouthed preacher. Apparently, he could bring people to cry because he was just so powerful with his rhetoric, something I will never be able to do, and I'm jealous of him. But God used him to preach to win some other great thinkers of the church. You can go in the medieval time period, and right before the Protestant Reformation happened, a lot of great preaching and preaching movements raised up, much like in the book of Acts. And then you could argue, when the Protestant Reformation came along, you had a renewal in preaching as well. Notice what I'm saying. Preaching, preaching, preaching. That's God's primary means by which people become Christians. And then in our own great country, you had the Great Awakenings, which are preaching movements as well. So if the church wants to renew herself under the guidance of the Spirit, what needs to be reclaimed? Proclamation ministry. It's really, really important. And it's important for us to realize here at Christ Presbyterian Church that it's God's mission to save sinners, absolutely, but it starts with proclamation ministry, both Jew and Gentile, or for our sake, both the church person who shows up every week and the people who are outside the walls of the church as now. So let's skip down to verse 17. Paul says, faith comes from hearing. And hearing in Scripture has this tie to obedience as well. Why did God give us ears? To hear him and to obey. To hear and believe first, and then to obey second. Priorities really matter. I like what one of the commentators says about faith. For Paul, faith is not merely verbal assent, but also entails a wholehearted commitment to God. So if you hear God's gospel call placed upon your life, if you hear, I need Christ's saving righteousness, that is the only way to stand on solid ground before God. It's not simply just believing in your head. You know, a few weeks ago I said the bobblehead thing. Like, it's not a Christian thing to just be filled up with knowledge, and then what happens is the rest of your body isn't worked out, and then you touch the head, and you're just going to bobble all around, so to speak. That's not the Christian life. It's not in our head, but it's all parts of our body, and we are to have a full commitment to God in Christ by the Spirit. So that's really what's important. Now, if we go back to the opening of Romans in 1:5, we can see echoes of today's sermon. So I see some people opening up their Bibles. So Romans 1:5, or you can pull it up on your phone. Paul says this, and it will sound a lot like what we're hearing today. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. So we can hear Paul in that opening statement in Romans chapter 1 is circling back to it again and again. And this week, how do they hear? They hear through preaching ministry. Okay, so for Paul's missional model, preaching precedes good works, or what we might call evangelism. And I think it's clear in Paul's writings that he really puts an emphasis on proclamation. Luke, who was Paul's companion, wrote the book of Acts. And if you read it, very closely, what are they doing in the book of Acts? Running around preaching from town to town, region to region, synagogue to synagogue. If the Jews don't listen to them and convert, they go to the Gentiles. So preaching, preaching, preaching. And that chain that we heard about, call, belief, hearing, and then obedience eventually, is scattered throughout all of our New Testament. We can even go so far as to say, as preaching is tied up with God's mission. And our Lord was a healer, but what do you get the impression that he was doing a lot of in his ministry? Preaching. It's all over the place. But again, we have a problem as we journey in this part of Romans. There's the difference between faith in Christ or belief and doing. And churches can think, perhaps, that they proclaim the gospel of God in Christ, but often what they can prioritize is doing. And it doesn't so much manifest itself in very simple and subtle ways, I think. So in our modern context, you got to go onto the websites and read vision and mission statements and say, see what our church is up to. And we'll get to our church in a few seconds. But I pulled up one this week that read like this, helping others to pursue Christ. Now, on the surface, that's not a bad statement. But who's the primary actor in that statement? The congregation. Yeah. I think we have a problem. Who should be emphasized in a vision and mission statement is God. God is the primary actor. We come second. So again, not so bad on a surface level, but I think ends up falling into the trap of emphasizing doing over believing. And I'd also say the person in Scripture and the Godhead who is to pursue people in Christ, who is that? The Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit's job. In fact, his nickname is the Spirit of Christ. And if you want to read his job description, so to speak, read John 16, 4 through 15. It's scattered throughout that little passage. Now, to go back to somebody who helped me think through the passage this week, Fleming Rutledge, in her book on Romans, shares this really fascinating experience in preaching class in the 70s. So she is an Episcopalian. She serves on the East Coast, and she went to Union Seminary, which is in New York City. And in the 70s, it was pretty liberal and filled with a bunch of do-gooders, as she said, so to speak. And she said the student body was more interested in spiritual journeys, because that puts the emphasis on them. They are more interested in generic religious activities than actually preaching the word of God in Christ. And she tells this story in the book that really caught my attention this week. There was an evangelical student like her in the class, and they got up to preach. And they preach, and they're preaching out of Scripture because evangelicals love the Bible and want to emphasize the Bible. And the instructor started to get visibly frustrated. And the student sat down after they preached, and the instructor told the student, and she overheard it, "Do you realize that you just preached a sermon in which God is not the subject of a single sentence?" And that really caught my attention, because this week I'm trying to, again, drive that wedge between belief and doing. So in other words, it was counterproductive to the gospel call. So in response to our passage and the problem I see in the text, what does this say about our church? And I want to emphasize our church this week, not so much individual application. So not yesterday on Saturday, but the Saturday before, 8/12/23, your session took 3 hours of their precious time on a Saturday from 9 to 12-ish. The donuts kept us up, so to speak, with sugar. I've learned that from our men's group. We had donuts and coffee, and we've been going through this long journey going all the way back to September of 2022 of trying to think through who are we as a church, or better yet, who has God gifted us with to lead as the elders? That's the better way to put it. And as we went through this exercise, we have done a few things, and you'll learn about this in Sunday school next month, so please come to Sunday school. I forget the dates. I'm sorry off the top. Oh, wait, I have them here. The 10th, the 17th, and the 24th. Come to Sunday school. You hear about all this. And we looked at quite a few things. So we took an inventory of all our ministries. We have about 120-ish members. We have 30 ministries, we counted, a little bit more. So we worked through that. That's a really interesting exercise. So we went through that. We talked a lot about things that we excel at as a church, things that we're kind of like okay at, and things that we're probably not so good at and need improvement. Now, throughout that Saturday and over the past couple of months, I've tried to challenge the session as we would get to a vision and mission statement. Please, please, please pick verbs that refer to God's action first and our action second. We don't want to fall down this trap of doing. And so we came up with these verbs, and we're still working it out. It'll be finalized before the end of the year. They were worship, walk, and serve. And we kind of blew it up a little bit more and thought through it this way. We are called to worship the Father, walk with Jesus, and serve others through the power of the Spirit. And to emphasize the power of the Spirit, we really wanted to put that there. So it's not doing, but belief that drives us first here at Christ Prez. So it was a really God-centered approach to ministry, and that is something we should always hold to. And we have held to going back to the founding. But if you see us going wobbly, file your complaint to session, and we'll be sure to talk about it. But we want God to be magnified in all we say or do and glorified. So session did a great job, and you'll see that unfolding over the coming months. Next, what's our response, so to speak, as a congregation? Because we're called Christ Presbyterian Church. We are Christ's body after all, right? We are his head, his heart, and his hands. And so as individuals, as part of this body, we need to think carefully about our mission here in the Treasure Valley. And I purposely say Treasure Valley as a broad statement because we're learning where the Lord is leading us with the building. We talked a little bit about that last week. The nice thing is, we've tried to knock on so many doors and work through it. The Lord is really the one leading us. I can assure you of that. But we need to be reminded that it's not our mission, but it's the Lord's mission. And in his wisdom, preaching is the primary means by which people are going to come into the kingdom. So as we think about our church and what the end game is, so to speak, we need to have ministries that filter people to coming to worship on Sunday. One of the most underrated means of evangelism is just getting people in the pews to hear the gospel. That's it. I'm sure, again, as we think back to our life and as we became Christians, we probably became Christians in the life of the church and maybe not so much outside of it. I could be wrong. You could come and challenge that statement, but a lot of us interacted more with the church than we realized and heard the gospel call. So as a church, I would challenge you this morning, be prepared to be led by the Lord in new and exciting ways. Some things that the session had discussed was a refugee or ESL ministry, and we kind of have, some of us are volunteering at a high school with that. We could kind of go down that route, but that filters people towards hopefully hearing the good news of Christ eventually. Stanton Healthcare has been another one we've talked about, and we've also talked about the Boise Rescue Mission, which Vincent said that's where he met Mike this morning, so a long-standing relationship with the BRM. But as we think about all these ministries, we don't want to be a congregation that's filled with a bunch of doing, but belief comes first. And really, I know I'm being a little bit over the top with emphasizing that this morning, but that's what Paul's doing throughout this section of Romans. It's, again, that great chain of event: God's call, belief, and hearing. And that should ever be before us as a congregation. So next week, I'm going to be on study leave starting Tuesday. So I'll be out of the office Tuesday through Friday, and I will not be preaching next Sunday. Retired EPC pastor Mark Cox will be preaching. He lives in Emmett. He's a wonderful guy. I had breakfast with him a few weeks ago to prep for all this, and we have some big fans of him in our congregation. He's a good guy. He loves the Lord. He loves the Lord's mission. So I look forward to hearing what he's preaching. His text is going to be in Philippians. So please pray for him as he gets ready to preach for us next week. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the understanding that preaching is the primary means by which people walk in your kingdom. Though it might seem as unwise to the world, nobody wants somebody preaching to them afterwards, you have declared that it is your wisdom. So help us as a congregation, Lord, to wrestle with that Help us to understand that as a congregation, we are your head, your heart, and your hands through your Spirit. Help us to get the good news of the gospel out far and wide and really just invite people to worship and let you do the rest. I ask for all of this in Christ's name. Amen.